Gimel, today's learning is sponsored by the Hershkovitz family, Leonishmas Moshe ben Hudaleib, by the Weider family, Refuah Shleima for Daniela Tzipora Bas Dina, and by the Lerner family, Leonishmas Fragi ben Reba. So today's daf again, daf mem gimel, the very top line. We're going through the sugyas of Paraduma. It's a very involved daf. You have to just kind of hold a cup and walk slowly through the different sukkim. The Gemara told us already yesterday, these are one of the areas where every pasuk tries to change the previous pasuk's assumption, or sometimes it maintains the previous pasuk's assumption. So you have to hold a cup with all the different shitas, the Rav versus Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda and different opinions. So let's walk through this slowly. And Amud Beis, it's a little bit quicker. There's just a long mishnah for the most part. And Amud Beis goes pretty fast. So the very, very top line of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, V'shachat Oso, you shech the para in front of it, Shelo Yishchot Acheres Ima. No other para, no other animal could be with it. That's what we discussed on the end of yesterday's daf. Lefanov, in front of it, or in front of him, the Rav, Shelo Yaseach Daito Mimen. Rav learned from there that you have to pay attention. You can't be a Mesiach Daito. Lefanov, the focus must be there. Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, he says, no, although the previous step, maybe Elazar was involved, when it comes to the Shechita, someone else could do it. Ezar does it in the presence of Elazar. Lefano is going on, Elazar watching, observing what's going on. So that's one machlokas. So now, based on this, the Gemara now is going to continue with the pasuk and take two directions, both Ravin versus Shmuel. It says, V'lokach Elazar ha-Kohen midama ve'etzba'o. It says that Elazar HaKohen took it from the blood on his finger. So l'Shmuel l'adure l'Elazar. Because according to Shmuel, the previous step of the Shechita, that was done by Azar. Cohen didn't have to do this. So now this pasuk has to bring the Elazar back in, because this stage, the Elazar has to be involved, so it brings it back. So that makes sense according to Shmuel. V'lokach Elazar HaKohen. But l'Rav, who already said Elazar HaKohen was doing the previous step, he was doing the Shechita, so why does it have to say again, Lokach Elazar Cohen? Elazar Cohen was already the subject matter. He did the previous step. Of course he does this step. So that was what was going on before. And so why does the pasuk say again, Lokach Elazar Cohen? So the Gemara says, L'Rav have mit achar mit, v'ein mit achar mit, ela l'rabos tafilo Cohen hedo. There's a klal. One of the drushas is when there's a mit. And then a second mit afterwards, it's a mit achar mit, it does the opposite. Like a double negative is a positive. So two mutim make a riboy. It comes to include, although the previous step was done by skana kohen, by Elazar, this step can really be done by a kohen hedyo. So then the pasuk says, v'lokach ha-kohen eitz erez v'ezov ushni talas. L'shmuel, the previous step, was done by Elazar kohen. So the skana kohen Gadol. So the Shmuel da'afilu b'kohen hedyo. Because now it says v'lokach ha-kohen, not Elazar kohen. The previous one was Elazar kohen. Now this is just stam kohen, even a kohen hedyo. So that makes sense according to Shmuel. Le'rav. So what's Rav telling us? The previous pasuk when it said v'lokach Elazar kohen, that was actually a chiddush, was really referring to a kohen hedyo. So why does the pasuk have to repeat again? Oh, this step also v'lokach ha-kohen. It's a stam kohen hedyo. That would have been the assumption beforehand. So why you say this again? So the Rav, the reason why we have to say a Kohen Hedyot again for the next pasuk, it's Tzirich Sakadai Dechamin, I would have thought, Kevan Delav Gufa Depar Ninhu. Since these items, the Eitz Eres, the Eiz of Shni Talas, are not part of the Paradum itself, it's part of the process, but not a cow, they're things that grow from the ground. So I would have thought maybe Lo Liboy Kohen, maybe you wouldn't require a Kohen at all, Kamashmal, that this too requires a Kohen Hedyot. Yes, the previous step was with a Kohen Hedyot, but this step too requires a Kohen Hedyot, even though it's Lav Gufa Deparanin. So then the next pasuk says, V'chibas Begadav HaKohen. The Kohen Gadav must wash it, the Kohen must wash his clothing. B'kihuno, which means, and Rashi explains here, referring to he must wear the big day kahuna when doing the avoda of the Paraduma. V'tamei HaKohen Ad HaErev. What does that mean? The Kohen remains the tamei until the evening. Why do we say the word Kohen again? Kohen b'kihuna l'daros. Not only in the times of the Paraduma did the Kohen have to wear his big day kuna, but even l'daros, all future Paradumas also, the Kohen must remain in his kihuno, which is a way of saying wearing his big day kuna. So Gemara says, okay, so now we're learning that the Kohen got the Kohanim in the future have to wear big day kuna during the Paraduma process. This makes sense. Hanich l'man da'amar l'daros b'kohen hedyot shapir. We saw yesterday, remember we had the machlokas, that only Elazar Kohen had to do, the Skan Kohen had to do the Paraduma in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but l'aslavo, someone else would do it. Was that either the Kohen Gadol had to do it in the future, or only Kohen Hedyo? So the man d'amar that says ledoros, a kohen hedyot, may do the avoda of the parduma, we understand why we have to remind him he must wear the big dekuna as well. That's the chiddush. That makes sense. Again, hanich l'man d'amar ledoros is b'kohen hedyot. Shapir, why we have to say they have to wear the big dekuna. The would have been a havamina that the stam kohen did the avoda outside of the parduma, he does not need to wear his big dekuna. So that makes sense why you need a pasuk. But if you assume el l'man d'amar ledoros b'kohen gadol, that no, in the future, every paraduma must be done only by kohen gadol, hashta, kohen gadol ba'inan, b'kihuna mibay. If you require that the gavra of doing it is the kohen gadol, certainly you require that he wears the big dekuna. Now, why is that certainly? Why is that so obvious? So you have to look at Rashi. Rashi explains here, hanichel man damar. It's a few lines lower where we are than in the Gemara now. Hanichel man damar, says Rashi, le'el le'doris b'kohen hedyot, if you assume that a future paradumas may be done by Kohen Hedyot, v'lo gamar chukah miyom ha-kippur, meaning, what was the reason why we saw the other day? Why the Kohen Gadol must do the future paradumas? Because we had a gzer shava chukah by paraduma, and chukah by yom ha-kippur, by achrimos. That gzer shava tells us, just like a yom kippur must be done by the Kohen Gadol in his big day kuna, so too the paraduma must be done by the Kohen Gadol in his big day kuna. If you do not have that drasha, chukah chukah, so then Elazar Kohen told us, only in the midbar did he require Elazar Kohen, but in the future, any stam Kohen Hedyot could do it. So Rashi explains here, again, if you don't learn, if you're low gamar chukah, miyom ha-kippurim, so then we understand itzirich lemichtav Kohen hacha. The reason why I have to say Kohen here in the context as well, the lamed al sheldoros shetasa bibigdei kuna. But implying, says Rashi, if you do hold that the Kohen Gadol must do every paraduma, it's because you're gamar chukah chukah. In that same Gzer Shava from Achimos that teaches us that the Kohen Gadol must do the Paraduma, we also learn he must wear the Big Day Kuna. So then the question becomes, why do you need the Pasuk V'tomei HaKohen Ad HaErev? We already know, of course, he's wearing Big Day Kuna. It's obvious. It's a Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara says, in. You're right. B'milsa da'asib HaKal V'Chomer Tarach V'Kasav Lakra. That which is learned and that would have otherwise been derived through a Kal V'Chomer and through logic, sometimes a pasuk goes out of its way anyways and makes a drasha nonetheless. So that's this is an example of that. So Gemara then says the next pasuk, v'osav ish tahor es efer harpara v'hiniach. A man, a tahor man, gathers the ashes and v'hiniach, he places it down. So the Gemara darshins, ish is lahach she'es azar. What means tam ish? Every pasuk up until now says akorin, akorin, akorin. Suddenly we say ish because even a zar could do the asif as a efer. What does the pasuk mean? Tahor, ish tahor, lahachshir es ha'isha, that even a woman is allowed to do that sifas ha'efar. And v'niach, what does the pasuk mean when it says v'niach ha'efar par v'niach? Mi sheyesh bo das laniach, one who has das, enough das, to place something down, which is not a high level of das, but at least some das to pay attention to do some assignment. Yatsu cheresh shot v'katan shein bem das laniach. So that's by the sifas ha'efar. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Maseches Para. The Mishnah tells us that Tanan Hasam Hakol Ksherin LeKadosh. Now we're talking about LeKadosh. The Kadosh is when you take the water, the Mechatas, and you pour it on top of the ashes in the Kli Charis. So who's allowed to do this? So the Mishnah says Hakol Ksherin LeKadosh. Everyone is allowed to do the Kiddush Mayim Chutz Mecheresh Shotev Akatan. These three are not allowed to perform the Kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda Mach Shibikatan, he argues and says a katan may do this, and Posa Beisha Bandrogonus, he disqualifies a woman in androgynous. There are two way machlokas here. Number one is they argue about a katan, number two they argue about a isha. Tanakama allows an isha, disqualifies a katan. Rabbi Yehuda allows a katan, but he disqualifies a woman. So my time of the Rabbanan, what's the reasoning of the Rabbanan why they allowed a woman and they excluded a katan? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, V'lakhu letame me'efar me'afar srefas hachatas. They should take the ashes. So what was the previous step? The previous step was you gathered the ashes. They burned the animal, now they gather the ashes. The asifa was the previous step, and now you are taking the ashes in the water. So v'lakhu, taking the ashes, is going on what was mentioned before by the asifa. There's an equation of the asifa and the lakicha. So again, it says, dichsiv v'lakhu letame me'afar srefas hachatas. Hanach the pasul rabbi sifa, those who are disqualified by the sifa pasul rabbi kiddush are going to be disqualified by the kiddush. Namely, who couldn't do the asifa? It was those who did not have a das laniach. That was a katan cheresh of a katan. So those are the same ones who are disqualified by the kiddush. That's what it means. A kol ksherin the kadesh chutz mecher shoteh v'katam. And hanach da'achshir lecha, those who were able to do the asifa, like a woman, because it says that tahor, even an isha, ba'asifa achshir lecha b'kiddush. They're the ones who are able to do the kiddush as well. So that's Rabbanan Shita. V'lachu is going back on the previous step of the asifa. Rabbi Yehuda, who had the flip, the opposite understanding, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Im kein le'makra lakach, if lakach is going on the previous pasuk v'asifa, it should have been consistent with being in the singular. If it said v'asaf, it should have said v'lakach. That would have indicated such an equation. But v'asaf to the word v'lakhu, b'rabim, indicates there's something changing here. So he says, my v'lakhu, dafilu katan depasi lecha hasam, hacha kasher. Telling us lakhu, we're including someone, an extra person who was not included earlier. Although a katan was disqualified from the asifa, v'lakhu, the plural, adds that even a katan may do the kiddush nonetheless. Isha minalan. So how did he know to disqualify an isha though? So he says v'nasan v'lo nasna. There's a different drasha. It says in the pasuk that he gives, but she does not give. She cannot do the kiddush mayim. The rabbanon, they respond back. Ikas rachmana v'lachak v'nasan. Had it said that, the rabbanon say it's a good question. He had right. You had a good question. If it was the same exact people who could do the asifa and the kiddush, why wasn't it consistent? It should have said v'asav v'lachak. So the Rabban point out, had it said v'asaf v'lokach, I would have thought the following. Hava mina, ad shakel chad v'yav chad. I would have thought, from v'asaf v'lokach, the same person who did the asifa must do the kicha, must do the kiddush as well. That's why I would have thought. And that's why the pasuk had to say, kasav rachmana v'laku, to tell me it's different. It does not have to be the same people doing it. It could be Reuven doing the asifa, and Shimon could be doing the kiddush. And v'i kasav, had the pasuk said v'i kasav rachmana v'lachu v'nasu. Let's say it was both in the plural. So then I would have thought, hava mina, ad the shakli trei, if you have trei. You could have two people do the asifa, but maybe those same exact two people, the Reuven and Shimon who did the asifa, they must be doing the kiddush as well. So v'i kasav rachmana v'lachu v'nasu, to change it up. The afilu shakli trei v'yav chad, that different people. Reuven and Shimon could be doing this. Levi could be doing this. You don't have to have the same people at all. That's why he had to have the psukim have changed from yachad to rabim. But lagabe, who's kasher, who's pasul? Same exact people on the list of the asifa is the same for the kiddush as well. So then the Gemara says, Lashon. Exactly. They did not make that drasha, right? So then the Gemara said, "V'lakach ezov the tava b'mayim ish tahor." The pasuk says, "And a person who's tahor, so he does a tevila. He dips the ezov in the water before the sprinkling. He first dip it in." So what do we learn from this pasuk? It says, "Ish tahor, l'rabbanan ish v'lo isha, and tahor la'achshir sakata." So now we have to know what the Rabban held in the previous step. The previous step, Rabbanan felt that an isha could do the kiddush, but a katan cannot do the kiddush. Now, the pasuk has to switch things around, because everything's changing from the previous assumption. So this pasuk of putting the ezov into the water, which is the next step, is the flip. The Rabbanan, although a woman was able to do the kiddush, in this pasuk, isha only says, ish tahor, only a man, but not a woman. The Torah comes to tell me, although a katan could not have done the kiddush, the katan may do the next step of the tevila. And the Rabbi Yehuda, what does he learn? He says, ish v'lo katan. Rabbi Yehuda said, a katan could do the kiddush, a previous step. So here he used the word ish, a man, but not a minor, not a child. He excludes a katan. And Tower tells me, l'hach shes ha'isha. Although previously, an isha could not do the kiddush, here a woman can do the kiddush, can do the tivil. Fine. So it's not very easy. But you have to kind of hold cup to walk through this, just holding every position in place. And then the Gemara raises the following question. Macy Ve, the Gemara asks a question. Hakol k'sherin lahazos. Now the next step is the hazah. You put the ezov in the, you dip it into the water, and then you start sprinkling it. Hakol k'sherin lahazos. Everyone's able to do the hazah. Chutz mitumtum vanjoganus v'isha v'katan v'katan sheish badas isha mesayasa. That if a katan who has das, a woman could help him do this. Umaza, and then they could do the sprinkling. V'lo palag Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not argue in this case. So what comes out from this here is that, and we see a katan's allowed to do this if a woman helps her, meaning a katan is kasher, and she just supports the katan in doing so. And Rabbi Yehuda does not argue. It sounds like that Rabbi Yehuda would agree then a woman is pasul v'haza, but a katan would be and katan would be able to do haza. Say it again. Again, everything's switching back and forth. So what should happen here is that we just said the previous case, which was the tevila, which is tevila and hazah together. Rabbi Huda said a katan may not do this, and an isha may do it. But now this brisa we just brought here says that a katan can do this, and a woman can even help it. A woman can do it on her own. A woman can only be messiah katan, but the katan be'etzim is allowed to do this. Rabbi Huda says a katan can do this. So how come Rabbi Huda does not argue in this brisa if it's really true what we just said beforehand? So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Kevan de Amar Mar Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma Umashma Mimela Palit. Even though the brisa doesn't say this clearly, but we have that yesod that everything goes, the previous assumption is overturned. So Rabbi Huda has to argue in this case. If he allowed the previous case to be a katan is acceptable, he must disqualify a katan from hazah. If he didn't allow a woman for the previous case, he must allow a woman for this next case. So even though the brisa does not present Rabbi Huda shita, he must argue. It has to be that case. And if you just even look at Tosa, Tosa points out just a tema, the small Tosa of a low palag Rabbi Huda, tema hu. It's a very clear statement that Rabbi Huda does actually allow a katan, which would go against what the Gemara is saying here. Maybe this brisa, they didn't hear this brisa. Either way, although the brisa doesn't say it clearly, the Gemara assumes it must be true that Rabbi Huda, in fact, does argue on this case. So Gemara now says three lines down. V'hiza ha-tahor al-ha-tame. One who is tahor could do the sprinkling on one who is tame. I mean, a tahor person. A tahor implies mechal de shu tame. That implies a person sprinkling. He was once tame, but now he's tahor. What was he tame from? And so Gemara says, limeid al tivul yom shekasher bepar. The Talmud, a tivul yom was permitted to do the sprinkling of the paradu. If you remember from the daf beis and the masechta, all the way back in the beginning, those who do chazara, we had the din that one of the things against the tzedukim that we had to we allow a tivul yom to do the paraduma like here, we would dafka make him tame and into a tivul yom because they felt that a tivul yom was not allowed to do this, but we had to overcompensate, so we had to all the kalim or kliavanim kligolam that which cannot become tame just to counterbalance the other. But we dafka wanted a tivul yom based on this pasuk. So then the Gemara says five lines down here in Amun Beis, Amar Rebbe Asi kiava ba. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Bapar, when they were involved in the sugya Paraduma, which is not an easy sugya as we see, we're just touching the surface, just scratching the surface, there's so much more to it. Lo maski mine, they didn't conclude anything, they didn't come out with anything, any chidushim, any conclusions. El kemai de musik, that which comes out, tala mi be karbo, is tala mi be karbo mean? If you look at Rashi four narrow lines down, kama de musik, tala mi be karba, kama shemala hashul beragla, that which a fox comes up from his legs, kishidoris ala sadanir, when he tramples on a on a field that's been plowed, not much dust comes from a fox. He's not a very big animal. You know, if a dog or maybe a lion, a bear, but a little fox, not much dust comes out. So he says when they learned the sugyas, they didn't really conclude much from these sugyas. It was very hard. A little bit of dust came up vizehu. So then the Gemara says, Ella, all that came out with was Ella Amri Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma Umashma Mimela. That you sort of that we keep going back to, that sometimes the psukim are going to undermine, to change a previous assumption of the earlier pasuk, and sometimes it's going to maintain those same assumptions. That's what they came out with. That's the Yesod of Paraduma. Walk away with that. That's all you really need to know. So then the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kame de Rabbi Yochanan. They taught a brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan, the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, as follows. Every shchita may be performed by a zar, by non-kohen, with one exception, the paraduma may not be shechted by a zar, it must have a kohen. That's what we discussed the other day, about the zar being possible for the paraduma versus the parasha kohen. But here the brisa clearly said that a zar may do every shchita, even the parasha aron, the one thing he can't do is the paraduma. In response to this was a brisa presented to Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Leih Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says back, poke, Tani the bra, go teach this brisa outside. Throw it out. This brisa is not true. Lo matzina shchita bazar psula. We don't find anywhere, says Rabbi Yochanan, that a zar is disqualified from a shchita. He may even do the shchita of the paraduma. Rabbi Yochanan, lo min bai latana de latzayas. Not only does one not need to listen to a tana, ela afilu l'rabbi latzayas. Even to your own rebbe, one does not need to listen to. Which interesting line, by the way. This is that Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. He was saying that we know Amoraim have to have certain respect for the previous generation of a Tana. The Gemara here assumes that you have to have more respect for your own Rebbe. Even that Rebbe is an Amora and one's a Tana, you must show more respect to your Rebbe. But the Gemara says here, even letting, let alone a Tana, you could throw out a Tana if you wanted to, if it's not part of the Mishnayos. But even your own Rebbe, you could also ignore. What does that even mean? The Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Yochanan himself quoted from his Rebbe, Bishin Rebbe Shimon Yotzadok, Shchitas Para Bizar Psula. His Rebbe said very clearly, my Rebbe said, a shechita by a paraduma is possible by a zar. But Vani Omer, says Rebbe Yochanan himself, I'm arguing on my own Rebbe, kisheret, it's acceptable, because we have a klal, lomatzinu, shechita shepsul bazar. Never do we find a zar is disqualified from any shechita. Fine, so that ends that whole discussion. Paraduma is behind us. Now back to Yom HaKippur. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Balo eta parushnia. So there are two cows. The first cow, the Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, does a vidui, and then he went to the second cow, he did another vidui. Gemara says, Maishna bevidui rishon, delo amar, uvnei Aaron am kedoshecha. When he did the vidui the first time, he did not include all bnei Aaron. He only included his own house. It says, ani uvesi. So when it comes to the second one, the Mishnah said, he included Maishna bevidui sheni, damar, uvnei Aaron am kedoshecha. He included all the Sheva Kuna. What's the difference? So just why there are three viduim that take place on this day. One is for the Aaron's family himself, the Kohen Gadol's family himself proper, and then all Sheva Kuna, and then all of Klal Yisrael. So what's the difference? So Gemara tells us this idea. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, kach hi midas hadin. This is the midas hadin, how it works. Now, kach hi midas hadin, nosenes, mutav yavo zakai v'chaper al achayiv, v'al yavo chayiv v'chaper al achayiv. In other words, it's best for a person who's innocent to represent those who are chayiv, as opposed to one who's chayiv to represent other people who are chayavim. So first, the Kohen Gadol had to clean himself for work on him, Aniu Vesi. Once he's now zakai by saying the vidui, he's able to represent the entire Sheva Kuna, who's also chayiv. But to do this all in one shot, it's not roi for him to represent them. So that's kach yamida for a person to first do this. Rashi just says pretty much what he said, but I'll read this inside Rashi, around six lines, seven lines down, from the top, midas adin nosenes, kolomar kach yafel lomar, she'acha shizvad el atzmo, after he had testified, or he confessed rather, to his own sins, via zakai, now he's roi lechaper alachem. He's fit to represent and to bring kapara for others. So now the new Mishnah, we're going to just read this whole Mishnah. We're not going to do any more Gemara, but it's a very long-winded Mishnah, easy Mishnah, but a lot to say here. The Mishnah says as follows. Shachtu v'kibol b'mizrach. So now, what happens is the Kohen Gadol, he goes ahead and he shechs the par. V'kibol b'mizrach, he catches the blood as damo, catches the blood in this little container, this little kli. V'nosna l'mishu mimaris bo'al haroved harivi shebehechal kedei shelo yikrosh. He gives it to a guy who's mimaris. Mimaris means he's mixed the blood. If you let the blood sit, it's going to congeal. So you have to let the blood mix. He mixes it because he shechs the par, but now he's got to do other things before he actually sprinkles the blood. So again, he hands it over. No salamishu memaris bo, a guy, another Kohen Hedyot, who mixes it. Al harovid harvi, there are stairs that went up to the ulam. So in the rova, the step, ravi, the fourth step for some reason, it's in the heichal, he would stand on that step mixing it, kadesh al yikro, show it so it should not congeal. Natal macht, and now the Kohen Gadol himself would take the little pan, the little shovel. So Allah the Rosh HaMizbech, he go up to the Mizbech, Ufana Gechalam Eilach Veilach, he kind of slide aside the coals, Uvechotem Amuchalos HaPnimitz, he dig deep down to get some of the deep inner hot coals from the bottom. The Yard, he'd go down the ramp from the Mizbech, Venicha Al HaRovet Harvi, then Sheba Azara, then he placed on the fourth stair in the Azara, and that was the next step, that was the next Avoda. So now the Mishnah just points out the whole series of things, of differences between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. B'chol yom, every single day, hayachote b'shok kasef umara b'soch shazav. Typically, when they had to use the coals for the kataras on a regular day, they would use a silver shovel and they'd pour it into a gold pan. V'hayom, today, chote b'shazav, they would actually use, the Kohen Gadol would use a golden pan, u'bohayamachas, and that's what he would use. He wouldn't transfer it over. Normally, there are two kalim for the collecting of the coals. One to scoop it up, and then you pour it into another. Here, the same exact thing to use was scooped up. It stayed in that same pan until he brought it into the Kodesh Kodashim, and it was made of gold. Furthermore, the Mishnah points out another difference between every single day and Yom Kippur. The Chol Yom, every single day, Chote B'Shel Arbas Kabin, they'd use a pan the size of four kav, Umara B'Toch Shloshes Kabin, and pour it into three kav, which means one of the kav would fall out into the floor. We discussed this already before. Hayom, today, however, Chote B'Shloshes Kabin, they use a pan that's only three kabin, Ubohaya Machas, they wouldn't pour it out, they'd use that very pan itself. Hayom, today, Chote B'Yamachas. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chol yom chot b'shel sa umar b'soch shloshes kabin. He felt the sizes were different. V'yom chot b'shel shloshes kabin u'bayam achlis. But today he'd use only 3 kab, and that's the exact pen he'd use to go inside. And then b'chol yom v'yom, every single day, ha'isa kveda, the pan was very heavy. Hayom kala, however, today it was light. We didn't want to have the Kohen Gadol to work that hard, so it was a little bit lighter. B'chol yom, every single day, ha'isa yada ksara, it was shorter. Hayom arucha, it was longer. Long actually gives you a little bit more ability to hold it up. So you can use, underneath you will see how they had to carry underneath their armpit to give it a little bit, to hold it up a little bit. So that was a long handle on Yom Kippurim. And b'chol yom, every single day, ha'isa zahava yarok. Every single day it was like a greenish type of gold. We're going to see, I think tomorrow's daf, maybe a couple of days, the different types of gold. It's not just like gold and that's it. There are different levels of purity of gold. There's some type of greenish gold, which was more inferior. Hayom, Adam, today they use a reddish type of gold, which is considered a superior type of gold. Divrei Rebbe Menachem. B'chol yom, every single day, makriva paris b'shachris u'paris ben harbayim. Every single day, there's a kataris, a shear of a pras amount of kataris in the morning, a pras in the afternoon. Hayom, they were mosif mali chofnav, they added a mali chofnav, a fistful of the Kohen Gadol was the special kataris that was brought inside the Kodesh Kodashim. B'chol yom, every single day, hayisa daka, was finally ground. Hayom, daka me'adaka, here they grounded a second time, a special grinding they did for Yom Kippur, which we'll see those details as well in the Gemara. B'chol yom, every single day, kohanim olin b'mizrachel shel kevesh. Every single day, when the kohanim would go up the ramp to the mizbech, he'd go on the eastern side, which meant the right side of the mizbech, and they go around the mizbech and come down the Yordan b'marav, come down the west, the left side of the ramp. Hayom, however, kohen gadol olin b'emsa v'yor b'emsa. Here, the kohen gadol will go up the middle and go right down the middle. Why would it be different? Says Rashi, if you look at Rashi around the 10 lines up from the bottom here, v'hayom, Kohen Gadol Marek Voda v'chibasan Shaishel. He shows his honor. He shows the love, the endearment of Klai Yisrael. Shu Shluchan, that he's the representative. He's the messenger of all of Klai Yisrael. V'yos Asmo Ki Ben Bayis. He treats himself. He acts like he's a Ben Bayis here. So you go up the center without, in a very brazen way almost, to show that this, I'm representing all of Klai Yisrael. We have the right to. This is our home. I'm walking up and down the middle as I please. That's his understanding. There is a Bach. The Bach says the Girsar should really be not the Kohen Gadol. It should be Rashi Hayom, it should be Kohanim Mara Kvodo. And that's apparently the gears of the Rambam and the Ritva. That even if a Kohen were to be involved in the Avodah, when the Tamidin got burnt in the Kohen, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wasn't busy flipping the meat on the fire. Kohanim were helping out a little bit. So when they go up the ramp, according to Rashi, they go up the right and go down the left. But according to the Rambam and the Ritva, even the other Kohanim would walk up and down the middle straight, because this is Yom Kippur. It wasn't a din in the Kohen Gadol, the din in Yom Kippurim. So that's machlokes, whether this is only referring to the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, or it's referring to all Kohanim on Yom Kippur. So then it comes along the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, very interesting Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Li Olam Kohen Gadol Ola B'emsa. He always goes up in V'yor B'emsa. Not Yom Kippur, every single day. Whenever the Kohen Gadol is involved in the Voda on the ramp, he goes up the middle, goes down the middle. So that's an interesting discussion. There's machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Sound like a machlokas Rambam and Ravid. In other words, does a Kohen Gadol have a bechina of Yom Kippur all year round or not? So I'll give you an example. The very first mission we learned in the Masechta was that a Kohen Gadol must be married. He has to have a wife. So that's talking about Yom Kippur, because there's a Ishu Beso. He has the Beso Zuishta. He needs to have a wife on Yom Kippur. But what about the rest of the year? Does he need to have a wife the rest of the year? Seemingly not. Rambam says the Kohen Gadol must be married all year round. The Ravid says, what do you mean? That's only a din of Yom Kippur, not a din of the rest of the year. So the understanding is that Kohen Gadol is always living a life of a Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yehuda says, every single day of the year is like Yom Kippur, so he goes up and down the middle of the ramp. Well, the Tanakh Kohen says, no, only Yom Kippur does the Kohen Gadol go up and down the middle, but the rest of the year, he goes up the right and goes down the left. That's a machlokas. So there's actually an interesting Meshech Chachma that says in the Midbar was like one long Yom Kippur. It was like all Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol, Aaron and Kohen had the din of Yom Kippur. The concept of Yom Kippur being like more than just Yom Kippur itself, it could be all year round, at least with respect to the Kohen Gadol. Then the Mishnah says further, a similar thing, that the Chol Yom, every single day, the Kohen Gadol would be Mekadesh Yodav V'Raglav Min HaKir. Every single day that the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands from the kir, and hayom min akiton shazav, but today he would use a golden container. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, liolam Kohen Gadol mekadesh yadav v'raglav min akiton shazav. But today, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Kohen Gadol all year round would wash his hands from the golden kiton. Lav dafka Yom Kippur, every single day. I forgot, I'm sorry, just lost the train of thought. Dr. Elifin from Atlanta also sponsored today's daf. Okay, I'm sorry. So I got that in. Okay, the end of the Mishnah tells us that b'chol yom, every single day, hayom, sham, marachos, every single day, there is four marachos on the Mizbech. We'll see the four marachos on top, a fire for the maracha gedola, a fire for the ketores, and the other things. Vayom chamesh, but today, Yom Kippur, there is five of them, divrei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, b'chol yom, every single day, there are only shalosh, only three marachos. Hayom, today was arba, was four. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'chol yom, shtayim, every day, there are only two marachos, and hayom, shalosh, and today, there were three on Yom Kippur. So there's a lot going on in this Mishnah. We can't fully appreciate everything, but the Gemara is going to go through each of them. We'll quickly recap. It's a hard daf to recap, but we discussed in the Amun Aleph about the Paraduma going back and forth. Who's accepting? Is it the Zar? Is it the Kohen Gadol? The Ish? The Kata? I'm not going to go through the details, but in essence, we saw the Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Huda Tanakama, going back and forth, and we came down with the basic understanding at the end. There's a Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma, Umashma Mela, Mashma, that in other words, that the psukim go back and forth, and they sometimes change the previous assumptions, and sometimes they maintain the previous assumptions. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishlakish didn't come out with much when they learned the sugyas of Parduma, other than this very klal of Mashma, Motzi Miyad Mashma, Umashma, Mimela. Then we had the discussion at the end whether or not the Tzar could do the Parduma or not, and Rabbi Yochanan was very, very adamant that even against your Rebbe, you could argue and say that a Tzar could do every Shechita, even the Shechita Paraduma. Then the Vidur Rishon Apar versus the Vidur Sheni, that first you have to be Mechaper in yourself before representing the rest of Klai Yisrael. Then we discussed the long Mishnah about the different things that was unique about the Ketores, the gold and versus the silver, the sizes, the same exact pan, the short handle, the long handle, and then about the Daka and Adaka, and then the Kohen Gadol goes up and down the middle, and the Kohen Gadol used the golden Ketone as opposed to the Kiyur, and then how many Marachas were on top of the Mizbeach. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.